Hodges. Ball knocked away. Brunson to the other end. Brunson throws it down with one hand. The exclamation point for Nova. 18 seconds to go. DiVincenzo layup good. Nova's going to win it. 9.8 seconds to go. Cartwright will dribble this one. Fires a deep three for Providence. No good. 2 seconds. 1 second. And it's back-to-back tournament championships for the Villanova Wildcats. The Wildcats win a wild one, knocking off Providence in overtime, 76-66.
He's the best in the business, and he's with us right now on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill and Downs. He is the national voice of the NCAA tournament and the Final Four for Westwood One on the radio. He is Kevin Kugler, and he's with us today. Kevin, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, Wade. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I've got to ask you right off the bat, how did you end up doing in last year's tournament bracket when you picked
Not well. We don't talk about things that happened a year ago. There's a lot that's happened since then. I mean, this is a new year. This is a new bracket. This is a new tournament. I mean, it wasn't good, but I have no idea. You know, we burned that bracket. Now we're focusing on 2018. It's a brand new bracket.
It's a clean slate, is what you're saying.
Clean slate. Yep. Nothing written on it yet.
All right. Perfect. So after watching the selection show, which, by the way, what were your thoughts on the selection show and how that was handled?
It was terrible. It was really bad. I mean, why? There's only so much you can do to make a show about selecting a bracket compelling. I mean, there just really is. There's not too many ways to rebuild the wheel in this case. I mean, it is a wheel. It's a round wheel, and it's a bracket. I mean, there's only so many things you can do to drag this thing out anymore. I don't like the notion of here's a laundry list of teams, which, by the way, weren't alphabetized correctly, and then you sit around and wait to decide where these teams are going to be placed in the bracket. I thought it was, I don't know whose decision it was to do it that way. I thought it was very oddly done. I don't think it was conducive to the viewer. I think it was too frustrating for the viewer. Look, I know a lot of people who just said, to heck with this, I'm going to turn it off, and when the bracket is posted in an hour online, I'll print it off and I'll go through the bracket at that point and I'll be no worse for wear. And I'm sure that the people I know are only a small portion of the people who actually did that. It was very frustrating to watch. It really was.
No, I agree with you 100%. So having said all of that, what was the biggest surprise, or should I say the biggest snub, the team that's got the biggest beef of not being in the tournament, in your opinion?
Well, I think USC is the team that has the biggest beef. And Andy Enfield was very vocal about it in his presser last night, and I don't disagree with him. I mean, they did everything that Bruce Rasmussen and the committee said they had to do. They won the games they needed to win. They finished second in a power conference. They did, you know, they had a bunch of road wins. They did everything you were supposed to do. I think there are a couple of teams in this field that should not be in there. And look, there was a lot of talk before this about the eye test. You know, we've got basketball people on this committee. We're going to utilize the eye test some. We're not just going to rely on metrics. Based on what I saw in this bracket, the metrics played the biggest role once again, because otherwise there's no way Oklahoma is included in this bracket. There just isn't. I realize I'm speaking in Big 12 country, but there is no way Oklahoma over the last 2 months of this season could be considered anything other than not a tournament team. They were terrible down the stretch. They didn't win any big games. They won no games away from home. They've yet to win a game away from Norman, Oklahoma in the calendar year 2018. And if winning games on the road, as Bruce Rasmussen has said, was a major criteria, then there's no way this team should be in right now. I realize they had some big wins early in the year, and that counts. It's the body of work. But I really do believe if you're putting together a tournament bracket, you want the teams that right now have the body of work but are also playing good basketball. There would have been very few people that would have argued that Oklahoma deserved inclusion in this field based on what they did the last 2 months of the season. And not only is Oklahoma in the field, but Oklahoma was obviously in the field pretty strong. I mean, that's a 10 seed, yeah. But it's a 10 seed that didn't look like they were on the bubble. The only thing that changed for them was seeding. They've been squarely in the tournament for a long time, and I just don't see it. I think they're going to be a quick out. I think Trae Young carried a lot more weight in that selection room than he should have, And I don't think Oklahoma's going to last very long in this league.
Well, and Oklahoma State, of course, is the one that everybody was comparing with Oklahoma, and I think we missed the point a little bit there because, as you just said, Oklahoma was comfortably in. They weren't one of the last four in. To me, if you're going to compare Oklahoma State to somebody, and I saw Dick Vitale go off about this, and he compared them to Oklahoma, and well, they beat Oklahoma twice out of three times. Well, they also beat KU twice out of three times, but nobody's arguing that Oklahoma State should be a one
right.
seed. I mean, to me, that's flawed logic. What they should be arguing is, if you're Oklahoma State Cowboy fan, we should be in over Syracuse. That was the last team that got
Agreed.
In. So that's who you should be comparing to and not Oklahoma.
And Syracuse is another one that I scratch my head with. I mean, what yes. do they do? What's their body of work that indicates that they're a tournament team? What puts them in ahead of Oklahoma State? Heck, what puts them in ahead of Nebraska, really? I
yeah.
mean, you can parse out a lot of things. Nebraska was 13-5 in the Big Ten, and I recognize Nebraska had essentially one impressive win. That was a 20-point win over Michigan. But what is the real big thing that got Syracuse into this field other than the fact that Jim Boeheim is the head coach and Syracuse is a traditional power? That, to me, those are the two things that seem to carry the most weight with a team like Syracuse. Now, that said, I think Syracuse can win a couple of games in this tournament. So maybe that's what the committee looked at. I think they can beat Arizona State, and I think they can beat TCU. TCU is a team that didn't exactly impress down the stretch during the course of the season. So if you're telling me that Syracuse is matching up against Michigan State in the second round, well, you'd be looking at my bracket, but you'd also it wouldn't surprise me. I think Syracuse is a team that can win a couple of games in this tournament.
I think you're probably right about that. Kevin Kugler, the national play-by-play voice of the NCAA tournament in the Final Four on Westwood One, our guest today here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. I'm interested in your perception of the Big 12 Conference. We're right in the middle of it here in Kansas. And this has been, I've argued this, I was one of the first to the party, I think. I might have been the ringleader, the bandwagon runner, but I have not bought in at all year long, and it seems like we do this every single year, that the Big 12 is the best conference in America. And, you know, honestly, maybe that's just a waste of time to talk about who has the best conference. Does it really matter? But for me, I look at the Big 12 as this year the best conference in regards to from top to bottom, the most competitive conference. To me, there's a difference between the most competitive conference and the best conference in America. What's the perception that you have of the Big 12?
You know, I would probably lean a little bit more into your camp than I would the other camp. I think Kansas is an excellent basketball team. I really do. I think they started to come on in the last month of the season. That's an example of a team to me that is playing its best basketball at the end of the year right now. And I really like what Kansas has. I think Bill Self is one of the five or six best coaches that college basketball has to offer. So set in any conversation about the Big 12, just assume I'm probably putting Kansas on a pedestal above everybody else because that's where they belong, 14 straight conference championships. I mean, I'm sorry, whether you're a K-State fan, you have to acknowledge at least the historic dominance that Kansas has had. In a league that people think is a, you know, really good or maybe the best league, Kansas dominates it every single year by winning the conference. So I give them credit for that. I think West Virginia is a team that is really good again, maybe not quite as good as they were last year, but certainly capable of making a nice long run in that East region. I look at the rest of the league, and I scratch my head. I don't think TCU is a great team. They had three victories against teams in the top 50. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're a great team. I think Texas is okay. I think Texas Tech is pretty good. But there's a lot of pretty good to okay in that league, in the middle of it. And to me, competitive is one thing, and it's great to be in a good competitive league, and I think the Big 12 is certainly a good competitive league. But would I put the Big 12, for example, ahead of the Big East? No, I would not. I think the Big East is a better league. Big East is competitive, and I think the Big East is better. Maybe not top to bottom. The bottom of the Big East is probably not as good, DePaul, as the bottom of the Big 12, Iowa State. But I don't know that you wouldn't go into the middle and say, look, if I have to take a team that finished, I don't know, fifth, Providence, and go against the fifth-place team in the Big 12 or the sixth-place team in the Big 12, I think I'd lean Big East. And that's where, when you get into conference parsing conversations it becomes tough because then you have to get into those comparatives. But, look, it's a good league. I just don't know that I think it's the best league in college basketball.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You're going to be in Charlotte coming up here for the first couple of rounds, and the games you'll have Virginia playing a 16, Creighton and K-State. I want to go to that one. People down here really are interested in that one. It's Marcus Foster, former K-State player, left Kansas State, went to Creighton. You know Creighton very well because you're, of course, up there in Nebraska. That's an interesting 8-9 matchup, and you get a call it coming up on Friday.
And it's one of those that can prove my point right there about conferences, I guess, because you get the third-place team in the Big East in Creighton, and you get the fourth-place team in the Big 12 in Kansas State. I was very happy to hear that it sounds like Kansas State's going to have its full complement of players. Barry Brown and Dean Wade should be back to play because, man, they have to have those guys. I mean, they absolutely have to have them. This is why people tune into this show, to hear that kind of hard-hitting analysis from basketball people. The team has to have two of its best players on the team. Thank you, basketball guy. Let me write that down. They will have to figure out a way to stop Creighton in transition. Greg McDermott loves to run. His team is capable of running. They're a different team since they had a midseason injury. The last 2 years, Creighton has suffered midseason injuries. This year, to their post, Martin Crompel. That has really changed what this team is. They brought a kid out of redshirt in Jacob Epperson, who plays some and does a good job when he's on the floor, but he's still a freshman who's played 11 games total in his college basketball career. I think Creighton is certainly capable of winning this game. I'm very excited about this. I think it's going to be one of the best games of the first round. It's an 8-9 matchup, but I think it's a very even 8-9 matchup. Both teams are very capable of putting points on the board. Kansas State's got to figure out a way to stop Creighton in transition. Marcus Foster has to figure out a way to not make this, I'm going to get back at Kansas State. He said all the right things publicly early, and he's really said all the right things since leaving Kansas State. I mean, it's not as if it seems he's harbored a grudge for how things turned on him down in Manhattan, but I do think it's going to be real interesting to see how he handles this moment, because if he doesn't handle it well, Kansas State will win this game, because Marcus Foster is Creighton's best player, most prolific scorer, and the biggest key to them winning games in the NCAA tournament.
Winner of that game, more than likely get Virginia in the second round. You have Texas A&M and Providence, a 7-10, North Carolina against Lipscomb. That's a fun story. Lipscomb, the first ever trip to NCAA tournament. We've talked about Oklahoma, TCU. So let's go to Kansas. Kansas, number one seed. I will say this right now. Penn is not your typical 16 seed. And I'm not trying to build this up to where, you're setting up to massage the loss and KU be the first one to ever lose to a 16. If you look at the numbers, this is something the NCAA tournament messed up on here. Penn should be more of a 14 seed than a 16 seed.
Yeah, and that is a tough matchup. And I'm sure Bill Self is not thrilled to see Penn on that line. I've seen this in years past in Nebraska basketball when they were in the same league as Kansas. Got a bid to the NCAA tournament, ended up having to play Penn, ended up losing to Penn. Now, this is many, many years ago. This is not the same team, and they were not the same seeds. Kansas is a much better team than that Nebraska basketball team was, or really any Nebraska basketball team has ever been. But they don't have a matchup that they look at in this first round and say, gosh, this is a cakewalk. Now, Kansas is going to win this game, I think, because Kansas is a better team. Kansas has more talent. Kansas has more size. Kansas is going to be able to assert their will, I think, as the game goes on. I like this Kansas team a lot, a lot. I had them a week and a half ago when they closed out the regular season at home on senior night. We had them for Westwood One, and I was really impressed. I walked into that game having watched a few games on tape getting ready for it, but I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to see in person. And what I found in person was a team that was really starting to click on all cylinders, a team that Bill Self really seems to have bought in now to what he wants to do. They really seem confident and comfortable with one another. I like their matchups going forward in this thing. I mean, this is not a bracket to me in the Midwest that at the beginning stages of it is particularly daunting. The conspiracy theorist in you will look at this and say, the chairman of the search committee, or the chairman of the selection committee, is Bruce Rasmussen, who is the athletic director at Creighton, who is hosting the region the next week. So you look at it and you'd say, okay, it looks like a decent path for Kansas, for Duke, and for Michigan State to all get through to Omaha. So if you want to be a conspiracy theorist, you can say, well, wait a minute, what did they do here? I like, though, the idea of Kansas getting through either Seton Hall or North Carolina State. That's the early rounds of this thing don't excite me a whole lot. Now, one team that does kind of pique my interest in this whole Midwest region, if you're looking for a sleeper, is New Mexico State.
Mm-hmm.
I like New Mexico State in this. I think New Mexico State is they're a tricky team, and they've got a good matchup. I don't buy Clemson, and Clemson has not been very good since Grantham got injured. I think it's something like 2-6 against teams that are in the tournament since he got hurt in late January. And New Mexico State is 28-5. If you're looking for a 5-12 upset in the Midwest or anywhere, maybe you lean New Mexico State a little bit. I'm not sold on Clemson, and New Mexico State is capable of getting through. Now, I really think Auburn is good, and despite what happened to them in the tournament, in the SEC tournament, I think Auburn has a real good chance to get to Omaha as that 4 seed, especially if Clemson falls. So I know that's a long, winding answer to your Kansas question, but this Midwest region interests me. I'll be in Omaha next week, and there's a potential for some really high-profile matchups, and I don't think the first couple of games in this region are particularly strong for a lot of teams.
I've seen some people kind of freaking out, Duke and Michigan State's in Kansas's bracket, but the thing is, Kansas will only have to play one of them to get to the Final Four if Kansas makes it to the Elite Eight. Now, we had Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, on last week talking about how important the one seed is and the two line. And he said, you know, maybe it's okay to – he didn't think there's a big difference between being a one and a two. And Kansas has not had a lot of success as a one. 7 times with Bill Suffy's been a one. Only once did they make the Final Four as a one, and that's when they won it in 08. The other time they made the Final Four under Bill Self, they were actually a two seed in 2012, lost in championship to Kentucky and New Orleans. So they actually, in their history, have been better off as a two or a three making the Final Four. But he said, you know, if I'm a one seed and Xavier's my two, I'm okay with it. If I'm a two and I got Xavier as my one, I'm okay with it. But the one team I don't really want to see in the bracket, and this is what Brian said, was Duke as a two. And here we are. Duke is the two in the Midwest region. On top of that, Michigan State is the three. Who do you like coming out of that bottom half of the bracket? And do you have Kansas going all the way to the Elite Eight to face one of those two teams?
I do. And look, you want history on your side. You mentioned the last two times that Kansas has been to the Final Four. Well, where were they in the NCAA tournament on their way to the Final Four? Both times, Omaha, Nebraska. Yep. They have had to go through Omaha the last two times they've made it into the Final Four. 2008, they came through Omaha. 2012, they came through Omaha. They're in Omaha again this year if they're able to get out of this first weekend down in Wichita, and I would assume the crowds will be somewhat favorable for Kansas in Wichita over the course of the weekend, so I like their chance to get out of there. At the bottom half of that bracket, man, I mean, if you get Michigan State Duke, you may as well pin in that as the national game of the weekend, that weekend, because that will be the high-profile game. Mike Krzyzewski, Tom Izzo, two blue bloods. I mean, it's going to be, forget about it, Katie bar the door, that's going to be something. I like, in that matchup, Michigan State. I think Michigan State has learned from their early season loss to Duke. I think they're going to figure out a way to deal with what Duke is able to do, and I think Michigan State comes out of that. And I think Michigan State-Kansas becomes one of the more intriguing games, maybe of this entire NCAA tournament, because you have size on both sides, you have skill on both sides, you have great coaches. I'm part of this is wishful thinking on my part, because I'd be just fine calling Michigan State Duke followed by Michigan State Kansas in Omaha on regional weekend. So maybe it's just me hoping for good matchups for my own sake, but man, I get kind of excited thinking about those two potential games.
Couple of nuggets to follow up on what you said earlier about KU. When KU won the national championship, they went through Omaha, and then, of course, they won the national championship in San Antonio. That's where the Final Four will be this year. Although, we'll point out that just a few years ago, 3 years ago, KU did lose in Omaha in the second round to Wichita State. We call that a segue in the business. What do you think about the Shockers, the number 4 seed in the East? I think what would be a tremendous second-round matchup is if West Virginia avoids being upset by Murray State. Wichita State-West Virginia would just be a heck of a second-round game.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? I mean, look, West Virginia is a team that just, I mean, you look at what they did against the field. That's what I like to look at when I'm looking at this bracket, and it's really helped me a lot because I've been terrible at picking brackets. So, obviously, any tips I provide are just useless to anybody. But they had 10 wins against the field. One of those wins came against a team that almost everybody's picking to get through in the South, and that's Virginia. So So they figured out how to solve Tony Bennett's team. And by the way, two people figured out how to solve Tony Bennett this year. That was not exactly easy. Wichita State has two wins against the field, College of Charleston and South Dakota State. There's a disparity there. West Virginia is such a tough team to play with that pressing style that they have. Now, like you said, they got to get out around Murray State first. Murray State has not lost in, it'll be 2 months since Murray State lost when they take the floor. They lost last in January. January 18 is the last time Murray State lost a game. So it's not as if this team is A, unfamiliar with the setting. Murray State seems like the Racers are here every single year. And West Virginia is a team that is here but has that pressing style. Here's the other thing, though. Murray State played Auburn. Auburn also employs that similar press. Now, it's not the same press, and it doesn't have the same length that the press does at West Virginia. But don't sleep completely on Murray State. I do think West Virginia will figure out a way to get through, and I think West Virginia will figure out a way to get through Wichita State. I think Wichita State is good. I think West Virginia is tough. I think West Virginia is hard to prepare for on short turnaround. I think that makes it really difficult, and I think West Virginia makes their way on to Boston.
All right, Kevin Kugler, national voice of the play, of the Final Four NCAA Tournament, Westwood One, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. So of the four number one seeds, who do you think is most likely to go down first?
Xavier, to me, is the team that's most likely to go down first as a number one seed. And I think the four number ones were absolutely the clear-cut choices this year. You know, I've heard zero people arguing for a different number one than the four number ones that were chosen. Because I think there's a pretty clear separation between the four number ones and the twos. I mean, I heard more argument about why North Carolina was a two than why any of the four ones were the ones. But I still think Xavier is the team that probably goes down first when a number one goes down. But I don't think it's for a while. I think all the ones go through to the Sweet 16 at the very minimum. Virginia certainly should go through. They're so difficult to play. They're so disciplined. They make you value every single possession. When you fall behind by four or six, it feels like 10 or 12 with them. And a lot of teams feel that pressure because of how well Virginia executes on both sides. I think Villanova is a fantastic basketball team. Jalen Brunson, my goodness, he's the National Player of the Year. He's such a stud. They're so well coached. They're so smart. They're so together. I did the Big East as you played the clip at the beginning of our conversation here, and man, Villanova is just they're the real deal. They don't have the rim protector like they had a year ago in Ochefu, but I don't think it matters. They play bigger than they are, and for Villanova, I think that's the number one that I would take it for a long way. Kansas, I really do think Kansas is going to have a hard time getting out of Omaha this year. Mm-hmm. I like this Kansas team a lot. I think Tom Izzo might have one of his two or three best teams he's ever had in his tenure. I think Michigan State's a team that's going to go to the Final Four out of Omaha through Kansas. But I think Xavier's the number one that falls first, and it might be falling to Gonzaga. I know they played last year, and it didn't go their way. I really do think it could be a similar situation again. I like the Xavier team a lot, and Chris Mack does a really good job of pushing the we're underrated card. It's hard to be underrated as a one seed. But I do think that that's more likely than not the team that will falter and have a little hiccup as they make their way towards the Final Four.
You mentioned earlier New Mexico State, you like them in a bracket. Who would be your biggest sleeper if it's not New Mexico State? Who's a team you've got as a double-digit seed that wins a couple of games? Or is it just New Mexico State?
You know, New Mexico State is a... They're one that, I mean, that I really like that team. Another one that I have, and I'm not as strong on this, is San Diego State coming out in that first round against Houston as an 11 seed. They don't last long because I have Michigan beating them the next weekend, and that's also in Wichita for those that will be at that site to watch games this week. San Diego State's kind of got things going late in the season, and you know, I put too much into these double-digit seeds looking for upsets, but I look at what San Diego State was able to do. They've won nine straight. They're scoring a lot of points. Like maybe that's a team that can make a little bit of noise in this tournament. I love John Beilein's Michigan team. I know the Big Ten has been perceived to be down this year, and as it turns out in the tournament, they are down because they only have four teams in. I think any one of the four teams that are in from the Big Ten could make the Sweet 16, and it wouldn't surprise me if all four teams in the Big Ten made the Sweet 16 because I think they're really good. Ohio State, the one I question because they have to go through Gonzaga. But I think there was a pretty clear separation in the Big Ten this year at the top, and I think the top teams in the Big Ten are really, really quality teams, Michigan one of those. But I think San Diego State's one of the, if you're looking for an upset, keep an eye on San Diego State as the 11 in Wichita this week.
All right, time for the expert analysis predictions for the Final Four. This is a stone cold lock expert guarantee.
Yeah.
Clean slate. We don't remember what happened last year at all. So who do you have making the Final Four?
do not record this. Do not hold me to this. South region, I do have the number one seed Virginia coming through. I think Tony Bennett's team does so much on both sides. People talk about their defense. I think their offense is what makes their defense good because their offense is extremely efficient, and they make you value every single possession. So I got Virginia coming through from the South region. In the West region, this is the one that I'm scratching my head a little bit on. I've gone back and forth between Michigan, North Carolina, and Gonzaga coming through to the Final Four. Uh-huh. I'm putting North Carolina in right now, okay. But that's the one Final Four pick I feel the least confident about because I've been on Michigan, I've had Gonzaga, I've made arguments for everybody coming through to the Final Four. I'll put North Carolina on my bracket with you, Wade, but I reserve the right to change that before games get started.
Okay.
Out of the East region, Villanova comes through for me. I think Villanova is spectacular. I think they're extremely talented, and I have Michigan State coming through in the Midwest. So I've got a 3, I've got a 1, I've got a 2, and I've got a 1.
All right. I've got, for giggles here, I've got Arizona, North Carolina, Villanova, and Duke. Those are my 4. Okay, so who do you have in the championship game then?
All right. In the championship game, I have Virginia, which obviously you've knocked out with Arizona, so that will put us at odds immediately.
Yep.
And in the other side, I have Villanova in the championship game, an all-V championship game for me.
And who wins?
And the winner, I have Villanova standing atop the college basketball world as national champions. On my first preliminary, I reserve the right to change it before the games really tip off on Thursday bracket.
You're a Villanova homer, you know that? Because I went back and listened to the tape last year.
I love Jay Wright in his suits. I mean, he's won me over with his tailored suits. I can't stop looking at the man.
Jay Wright's got to be scared if he'd hear this interview. Oh, no, Kugler picked this again because last year you had Villanova in the championship, and, of course, they got knocked out there in the second round. All right, time for the off-the-wall question before we let you go, and I know you're busy. I greatly appreciate your time, and I like the annual tradition that we have and having you on to break down this bracket. I understand that, is it your oldest daughter is going to college, and she picked the college, is that right?
It is right. She's going to Arizona State. We're very excited for her.
Why Arizona State?
Quite honestly, because there is a, this will be really interesting for everybody listening, the student teaching program at Arizona State is one that she was really excited about because it puts her in a classroom for an entire year. There you go. I mean, that's the bottom line. There was no real, it wasn't, I like warm weather, I like this, I like that. She was very excited about the student teaching program. She's going into education, and she was very excited about the way they set up their student teaching program. That's why you listen to this show, kids, to find out why a kid would go to Arizona State to become an educator.
And finally, the off-the-wall question for you. By the way, at least you went to a warm weather school, so maybe you'll go visit her even more often there. The strangest mascot that you have ever seen in your lifetime.
Oh, my gosh. The strangest mascot. I love the Western Kentucky dude. I don't even know what they call him. Big red. I guess it's just Big Red.
Because they say Hilltoppers, right? Hilltoppers, but I don't know what they call the guy, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's maybe just Big Red. It's that big red shmoo-looking thing. Like, if you just would shave it, it would just all be hair. There wouldn't be anything underneath. It's just a big red hairy thing with eyes on it. That one, to me, every time you see it in person, when they make a tournament, you happen to be there, or you know, you see it when you're at a football game or something, you kind of wonder what's exactly going on with that mascot. That's one that I have always been intrigued by because it's just sort of a formless, shapeless, big ball of red hair.
Mm-hmm. That is unique. Have you seen the Cobber?
Yeah.
Have you seen the Cobber from Concordia, Minnesota?
I have seen the copper. That's a very unique one as well. I mean, they're mascots. Give me the more unique, the better. So, you know, it's great that you have a Jayhawk or a Wildcat. Those are fine mascots, even a Shocker. But the Hilltopper mascot, the Cobber, give me something that stands out a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Let everybody know how they can listen to you doing the NCAA tournament. How do they listen to you, man?
I have no idea. you can find us on many Westwood One Sports affiliates. You can listen to us on SiriusXM. We'll have all of every single game is on its own separate channel. Plus, we have the mixed channel, which is essentially like if you're watching the games on TV and they're flipping back and forth. That's what we do on the radio side. So you'll go from, we have a producer in New York who coordinates the whole thing and flips from, you know, we're going to take you from this site, we're going to go over to this site because we're getting down to great action here, and then we're going to go back over to this site. It's really kind of cool to listen to if you're just wanting the grand picture of the tournament, and then all the games stream on WestwoodOneSports.com and on TuneIn. And I mean, it's really hard to avoid us during the tournament. We're really everywhere.
Charlotte, then Omaha, then San Antonio for the Final Four. Kevin, you do a wonderful job. We thank you for the time. We'll be listening and enjoy the NCAA tournament, and we will not hold you to your picks. We'll clean the slate again next year in 2019.
Ignore everything that was said here and bracket against me. That's probably your best plan.
Fantastic. Take care. Safe travels, Kevin.
See ya.
That's Kevin Kugler, the national play-by-play voice of the NCAA tournament on Westwood One.